It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I got to run to keep from that. And I'm bound to keep on that. I got one.
Close it up to midnight. I want to sing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. McMonagle here with you on a special Saturday night. 11:20 in the p.m. Awkward time for me, but I'll get used to it. 888-808-1019. And here we are on the first day since 2000. In the year 2000, where both the New York Mets and the New York Yankees win playoff games. We'll get to those Mets in just a second as they take down the Phils 6-2, and they do what they do. They start the game in the eighth inning. It's unbelievable what the Mets are doing right now, but following this Yankee game, we got to get to it. 6-5 over the Kansas City Royals as they take game one of this series. And I know there probably is going to be mixed feelings about this game because of expectations of the New York Yankees and how much we've talked about the easy path since the Astros were knocked out and the Orioles were knocked out. And you're talking about the central division being the only thing that stands in the way of the New York Yankees. If this isn't the year, then what an embarrassment. Fire Cashman, fire Boone. I mean, that's just a normal Saturday, but even more so now. And after game one, there may be some who will look at it and go, oh, well, there's still this, there's still that. Precisely. This, to me, two main things jump out at me about this Yankee victory last night. And the first one is, I think it's an enormous win because all the things that scared us, all the things as Yankee fans that we went through in our minds that could cost us a game, cost us a series against the Kansas City Royals, came to fruition right before our eyes, and they overcame it, and they still got the victory. And you talk about you're fearful that in this important game, and we knew the pitching matchup with Reagans and Seth Lugo coming up in games 2 and 3, that they had to win this game 1 with Cole on the mound. I don't think there's any doubt. Like, could they overcome losing game one? Sure, nothing's impossible, and they're the Yankees and they're the Royals. I wouldn't declare them dead necessarily, but this was a huge game one for the New York Yankees, where it's the only game and it's the only pitching matchup that you could go into. And as much as we might downplay the Kansas City Royals, they have top of the rotation starters. That's their strength. And this is the only pitching matchup, Cole and Waka, that you could go into the series and say the Yankees definitively have the pitching advantage in the game. So fear number one was Gerrit Cole would not be good Gerrit Cole, that the layoff would be a problem for Gerrit Cole. And he downplayed it in that postgame, whether it is or it isn't. They got bad Gerrit Cole, and you recognized it from the jump. I mean, I tweeted it out. It was either going to be one of those typical slow starts, couldn't find location, and with great defense with Judge and a couple of incredibly hard hit balls, the Royals blew the one chance they were going to have of actually getting a Cole, and he was going to settle in and give you a nice Cole performance, or Cole didn't have it. And clearly Cole did not have it in this game. The fastball velocity was down. The location was bad. The breaking balls were in the dirt, very seldom thrown for strikes unless it was that easy looping, just get one over kind of strike that you'll throw at the start of a count or 3-0. Besides that, if he tried to get swing and misses with his breaking ball, it was in the dirt. He had absolutely nothing going on in this game. So fear number one, Cole wouldn't have it. Check. Fear number two, Judge would be playoff Judge. And that's going to be the main discussion and the main fear still moving on. And really, although he didn't have good at-bats throughout, he did have a walk in this game. The one at-bat that really kills me is the first inning. Right? Later on in the game, yes, he strikes out in the sixth on a very good breaking ball, a very good changeup, rather. And the first pitch is a check swing that inside almost hits him, but hits the bat instead. The first at-bat is killer. Because the Yankees start off this game with a walk from Gleyber and a double from Soto, and they are set up second and third. And then here's your other fear, runners at scoring position, and their inability to get these guys home. And it starts with a terrible Judge at bat. And he swings at that Michael Waka changeup, which, I mean, he had no, he just can't. I honestly believe the Judge Waka thing is real. He's 1-for-20 now, or 1-for-19, against him. Or 1-for-20. I mean, he can't see that changeup. So you're worried about playoff Judge, that he's, he hasn't performed in the past. It's become a talking point. He was terrible in 22 against the Astros. Really not good against Cleveland either. After his miraculous home run, 62 home run season, you got bad Judge. You got runners in scoring position. Terrible in this game. Terrible in this game with runners in scoring position. Like I said, they got all their runs on walks. All their rallies were walks. So you still have that to worry about. Although I think many people are talking about the defense. I think the defense was actually pretty damn good in this game. But you do get the one big error from Volpe in that, sixth inning that absolutely kills them. I mean, so you get the bad defensive play you're worried about. There you go. You got no runners hitting with runners in scoring position. No clutch at bats. You got that. Judge is bad. Cole is bad. These are all the things we feared heading into this game. They all came true, and there was still enough done to win this game. There was still enough. You get Wells coming through after Judge with an RBI single. You got the other guys in the lineup, Chisholm with the single, and we'll get to the turnover, the non-turnover call we get at Major League Baseball, and what a disgrace they've been in both the Met game, the Yankee game, and I'm sorry, Yankee fans, he's clearly out. We'll get to it. And I'm told I've been paying attention a little bit. I guess there was one with Freeman. I got to look at it. But, there's that play. But the other guys around the lineup come through with either walks, a big hit, and then, obviously, after you get past the idea that, for me, it's so important to win a game when you don't do what you accomplish or fail to accomplish what you needed to stop, right? Heading into this, it's you got to avoid all the things they couldn't avoid, and Judge and Cole have got to be your guys. Your stars have to be your stars. And other than Soto, none of them were. And yet they still had enough. Two hitters. If Judge doesn't hit, they can't win. I've said it myself. We've all said it. If Cole can't win this game, I don't trust Rodon. I don't know about Luis Gil. Cole didn't have it, and they still won. This is a positive win because those two things in particular, I think Cole is going to be excellent in game four, and I expect Judge to hit. I know that's going to be a talking point. It's one game of the series. I know his history. It's one game. We have to see it more than one game for me to be really afraid of a guy who just damn near won the Triple Crown and is the best hitter in the world. But those things play out, and then obviously for me, the second point of this is, to me, the Aaron Boone game. I think Aaron Boone, who was under immense pressure with his decision in his starting lineup, and don't give me it's fed to him, and don't give me that decisions are taken out of his hands. It's absolute nonsense and overplayed garbage. He's given suggestions. They talk it out. A lot of the times it's a mutual decision, but it's his final decision to put the lineup out there. You don't like it? Tough. That's the most of the time you hate the lineup, blame Boone. Last night, Aaron Boone had two tough decisions, and we've been talking about it this entire six-day layoff. What's he going to do in left field, and what's going to happen at first base? And everybody, you know you were, myself included, was disgusted when we saw Verdugo out in left field. Disgusted. Because of exactly why he ended up being a huge part of the game, because they don't get hits, run, scoring decision. It's always about the offense. It's always, 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 always about the offense. And you want your best offensive players out there. At least I do. And yet, starting Verdugo was clearly the right decision. As he obviously comes through with two hits and a walk, he gets on in front of Torres when he hits the two-run home run to give the Yankees a 2-1 lead. He gets a walk, he gets the game-winning hit, and he makes two plays out in the outfield. One for sure, that sliding catch down against the line where that would have, you know, helped blow the game open with Cole on the mound. There's no way Jason Dominguez makes that play. So he was very good to, he was just solid to very good in left field, but made two plays that Jason Dominguez would not make, and he was the offensive star of the game. And then Cabrera was the other decision, and he was brilliant at first base the entire night. He made a bunch of good plays, bunch of long stretches. You know, Jazz waits until the possible last second to throw the ball sometimes. I thought he played brilliantly at first base. He comes through with at least a double, had some bad at-bats, but does get the double. And Aaron Boone, not only did he put in the exact lineup and both of his guys that he trusted, specifically Verdugo, and Verdugo talked about wanting to come through for his manager when the entire world, the entire fan base, everybody in the city is clamoring to have him sit on the bench and play the young kid. Everybody. He comes through with the biggest hit of the game and drives his Jad Chisholm to give him the lead. And then also his decision to go to Clay Holmes. How about bringing in Clay Holmes in that situation in the sixth inning? And he comes through, and how good did Clay Holmes gives you five outs in this game? A guy who's been just, nobody wants a piece of him. No one wants to see him. People want him off the playoff roster. He can't pitch in any sort of big game. No way you can have Clay Holmes in there. And Clay Holmes comes in and stabilizes the game. Those five outs, as well as Weaver being dominant for an inning and a third too, as well at the back end. Unbelievable. But those five outs are the key to this game. You could argue, you can absolutely argue, that the faith in the manager to play Verdugo in left and bring in Clay Holmes in that situation directly lead to the victory. Those are the two biggest factors of this game. So when I look at this game and I say, Judge did nothing. Cole was bad. They still made a bad error with Volpe throwing the ball away that cost them two runs. They didn't hit with runners in scoring position. They had second and third. Nobody out in the first. Can't score a run. They have bases loaded. One, nobody out. All they get is two runs off walks. All the things we feared, and yet they still get the victory. And the two guys that the fan base, the city, everybody. Maybe this Pete Alonso, maybe Pete Alonso's rubbing off on them as he was left for dead by the fan base. But the two guys from the New York Yankees who nobody wants to see, who nobody wanted to play, who no one wants in there, the manager trusted both of them. And you could argue they're the two most important players in this game in a game one victory. So moving forward, you got to clean up the defense. You need to start hitting with runners in scoring position. Oh, I left out the fact that you need a sundial to clock Giancarlo Stanton running around the bases. Oh, my goodness. That guy. Is it, you know, I wondered, is it that he can't run fast anymore? Or is it that he's afraid to because he'll pull a hamstring? I always figured it's that he's afraid to. But in a game like this, in those two situations, if he's just that disciplined to not run fast, because he's afraid he'll pull something. It's almost impressive. He's that mentally tough to tell himself with the game on the line of the postseason for him not to run fast on a ball that's misplayed by the center fielder that goes rolling into right field that he can't score from first, and then a ground ball with runner at third base that the third baseman dives for, can barely make the play, and he doesn't beat it down to first base. Like, it's just... Stanton's a great postseason performer. He's been that for this team. But his legs directly cost the Yankees two runs last night. Tonight, excuse me. I'm so used to last night. His legs directly cost the Yankees two runs. Add that to the list of things we were fearful of. Everything we were afraid of came through. Other than the bullpen being excellent, everything we feared came through. And they still won this game. When they played their worst, when everything they do that worries us about them happened and showed up on the bright lights, the first game of the series, it all was there for the taking for the Kansas City Royals, and they still couldn't get it done. The Yankees get an important game one, and a game that no one will remember for its, you know, well played. It wasn't the crispest of games. It's not one you'll, you know, show on the Tom Lemansky videos. It had its problems. It was back and forth. There were five leads taken in this game. And it's one of those games where you just wipe your brow, you thank the good Lord, and you move on to game two. But those kind of games can be impactful because the Yankees know now, even if Judge doesn't hit, they can win. Even if Cole doesn't pitch, they can win. Even if they make the costly mistake, they can win. And they did it last night. With all thanks to really three people in my mind. Cole, Verdugo, and the manager who still had faith in him. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Let's get right to the calls. As this is your night, bro, as we like to say in the overnights. Let's go to Tim in Norwalk. What's up, Tim?
Chris, what's going on?
What's
hey,
up, buddy?
Listen, how you doing? Hey, listen, this is one of those Yankee games where you're like, you know what? Good teams win games when they don't play well.
Right.
But you know what? Kudos to Aaron Boone and all the Aaron Boone haters out there in Yankee Nation, because he called it as it was. And I'm telling you right now, hearing Luke chants in the, wearing those Air Force One cleats, I mean, Luke Weaver, he is our closer. And
yeah.
Look, remember Clay Holmes was Aroldis Chapman's setup man? Remember how calm he was and cool and collective? He was unstoppable, and he was that tonight. And you know what? Good teams win games that they're supposed to lose. And the Yankees, this is one of the first games, God forbid, I have no idea the last time the Yankees won a game just like this with walks.
You're 100% right. When they play like this, they lose. That's why when we talked about going into the, and thank you for the call, bud. When we talk about going into this series and we talked about the easiest path to the World Series in a long time, people would get their back up or they don't take this team lightly, don't take that team lightly. That's not taking anybody lightly. The Kansas City Royals are a capable baseball team that have a decent back end of the bullpen. They've got two or three hitters in the middle of the lineup and a rotation at the top of the rotation that can be dangerous. They have just enough weapons to beat you. And by no means did I think the Yankees would cakewalk over anybody. Anybody. Anybody could beat the Yankees, and the Yankees can beat anybody. That's exactly how I feel about this team. But when we talked about the easiest path, it's because so many times throughout this run, in fact, every time, the Yankees have never gone into the playoffs as the best team in the American League. They just haven't. They haven't. And whether or not they'll be snake bit by their mistakes, or the Kansas City Royals will play great, or the Guardians will get hot against Detroit, and the Yankees will lose, I'm not saying they're going to win, but clearly on paper and over the course of the regular season, this was the best team in the American League. So many times, especially when you talk about playing the Houston Astros, who made it to seven consecutive ALCSs and have been the best postseason playing team that we have seen year in and year out since the dynasty Yankees. Like, that's how good they've been. When you play like this against them, when you have a performance like this against the Astros, you don't win. And so many times we have seen the Yankees play this very game And we're holding our head in our hand going, oh, can you believe this team after a loss? Right? After a loss. So the idea that they win a game like this, I'm not overstating it. I'm telling you, they played poorly in different spots. They still didn't hit with runners in scoring position. In no way, shape, or form did they look like a juggernaut last night. But they're good enough, and they're better than their competition, where they can still win on nights like this. They haven't won on nights like this in the postseason in forever. They lose when they play like this. They can play like this against the Minnesota Twins. They can play like this against the Kansas City Royals. They can play like this against Cleveland. Now, they can't play like this every night, but all it takes against the Houston Astros, who are damn hard to beat, is one of these games. And you put yourself behind the eight ball and you can't win the series. And the New York Yankees, and why we talked about how this has to be the year. This has to be the year. Because they're the best. They're the best team in the American League. If they, no excuses. It's a lousy Central. The Royals would be under 500 if you take away their record against the White Sox. Like, this is the year. We said that because in previous seasons, if they played like this, they would lose. This year, they're good enough and that much better than their competition, where they can play like this and still win. Not a whole series. They can't play every game of this series like this. To get through the World Series. They can't have a seven-game series against Cleveland playing like this. But sometimes the one game like this, the first one off a layoff, your ace doesn't have it. Like, these kind of games, they've lost forever. So, excuse me, I'm not taking bows for the New York Yankees at all. They didn't play that well. But how many times have we seen them actually win? And for the first time, and I know the fan base feels that when I say this, for the first time, they're going to emphasize for the first time. For the first time, despite me being positive about him, I've often had to defend him for not killing the Yankees. This is a game that I directly think the manager helped them win. Aaron Boone directly impacted this New York Yankee team with his decision-making in the lineup and in-game with the bullpen. Whether it's pulling Cole after the one batter in the sixth, whether it's going to Clay Holmes to finish that inning, whether it's taking Canely out as soon as he walked. Who do you walk? Hampson. When he walks the eight hitter and going right to Weaver for a four-out save. Aaron Boone directly impacted the Yankee victory, and the Yankees played an unclean, kind of ugly game and still got the victory. And considering I haven't seen either of those things happen at any point in the Aaron Boone era, I'm going to take it as a positive. I'm going to take it as a big positive. Joe in New Paltz, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Mac, thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Definitely not an epic win, but a very stressful win. But let's do a side note. The Darlin thing, the Bob Costas thing. Is it painful to listen to them be such Yankee haters?
Well, I don't know about Yankee haters so much as just, like, I feel bad. I grew up adoring Bob Costas. I love Bob Costas.
Same here.
I've always, when you think premier sports broadcasters, the first, at least my generation, like the first word, I'm 40 years old, the first name that comes to my mind in my generation, it doesn't have to be yours, but it's like Bob Costas. I mean, he's a legend. I killed him after the 22 Cleveland series, and I really don't want to do it again, but I have no interest in listening to the broadcast. I tune it out. I got to be totally honest with you. And I'm so freaking crazy and hyped up, and I'm pacing the floor, and my kids don't understand why I'm going nuts. Like, typically, my son was in the other room for a little bit, then he watched me, then he was upstairs taking a bath before bed or whatever, and every time I would scream, and he'd be like, what happened? And typically, on a regular Yankee game, I wouldn't scream unless something happened. He's like, what happened? I'm like, nothing. It's just a ball outside that I thought was a strike. Like, I'm so nuts in these games. I'm pacing the floor. I barely sat down. And you're right, the stressful part, that first inning was, when they didn't score that run, I was ready to run through I was like, I have to leave now. I don't know if I can watch this game. Like, it's just so stressful. But yes, to your point, and thank you for the call, I don't think Bob Costas and Ron Darling are Yankee haters. I think Bob Costas is long-winded. And he talks about stuff that, you know, I don't care about. And it just...
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They don't have what they used to say, or what you say about certain broadcasters, is that they make the moment feel big. And I'm not a big broadcaster guy. I'm really not. I've never stopped watching a game or tuned into a game for the broadcaster. I don't care. I'm here to watch the game. There are better. There are worse. Some I don't care. Whatever. Like, but there are broadcasters, when you hear their voice, it brings an element of this is a big game. And unfortunately, in my mind, from what watch it, I don't get that listening to Bob Costas and Ron Darling. I don't. That's about as much as I'll care to say about it, to be totally honest with you. We can talk about it, but let's get to Drew in Mahwah. What's up, Drew? Drew, you there? Drew, I heard you were at the game.
Yes, I am. How are you?
Yes, you are. What's up, Drew?
Good. I'll be honest with you. I am not happy with how they played tonight. Happy with the win, of course. But Gerrit Cole, I am a little bit concerned with how he pitched tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. It wasn't very good, but I'm not concerned.
A lot of hard contact.
No doubt. No, yeah, I think they said, I was watching the postgame on the stat that said 11 hard hit balls this year in this game, which was the most all season.
Yeah, I'm very happy with the win, big Yankee fan, but I just wasn't happy with how he pitched, and we got to go to Rodon against Reagans later in the next game.
Yeah.
Tough.
Well, they got the win, though. I mean, yeah, you knew it was going to be a tough matchup, and we'll see what Rodon can do. But we just saw them win a game where they didn't pitch very well. But like when you say you're worried about Cole, like he didn't pitch well in this game, totally accurate, and I'm disappointed in how he pitched. You don't have confidence in him in game four?
No, I wouldn't say I don't have confidence. I would just say it's been a weird season for him, obviously, with the injury to start. I just don't know what I'm expecting, and today didn't help the confidence.
I hear you. I'm pretty confident he's going to be pretty good in game four. I think this is a long layoff. He's a creature of habit, which sucks. You don't want your ace pitcher to kind of be the creature of habit that he is, but he is a little bit. You could tell early on he just didn't have it. It's one of those games he didn't have it, and he still managed to give you, you know, five and keep you in the game, and the offense did enough to win the game, and thank you for the call. I'm disappointed in how he pitched, but I don't necessarily feel like, oh, now I'm concerned about Gerrit Cole or who's going to show up in game four. Like, I'm really not that concerned about it. I think he's going to be good in game four. I do. I think the next time we see him, he's going to be really good. Cole is proven. I listen, and people want to say, oh, he's not an ace. Here's Gerrit Cole in big games. Gerrit Cole last year in the Cleveland series was dynamite. Like, Gerrit Cole in 2020 was great for the Yankees. Gerrit Cole had one bad start in his really Yankee postseason career, and it's the wild card game against the Red Sox. And if you want to throw in tonight, fine. He wasn't very good. I don't think he wasn't as terrible as that night where he gave them no chance to win. Like, he was okay. And they scored some runs, and it was a back-and-forth game. It was, you know, he wasn't very good, but he's certainly not ace-like. And overall, it's just not good enough. But I don't expect it to continue. I really don't. And as far as the way the team played, like, I don't think the team was that sloppy defensively. I mentioned the one big error. Volpe makes the big error that allows two runs to score later in the, you know, in the inning. But I thought they played really well defensively. You got Judge tracking down that ball in center field. You got Verdugo in the sliding play. You got Cabrera making all kinds of plays at first base. You got Soto throwing out Perez at the plate, which, by the way, I thought the Royals, you want to talk about the manager and decisions that the Royals made. I thought the Royals made a couple of terrible decisions. One, how can you send Salvador Perez in that situation? How in the world can you send Salvador Perez? You've got nobody out. Nobody out. And Cole on the ropes. And you're going to send the second slowest man in baseball next to Giancarlo Stanton? You're going to send him home? He was out by a mile. It was a great play by Soto to put the ball on the plate, but, I mean, it didn't take that great a throw. That's a terrible decision. And then I thought the manager made an awful decision taking out Waka when he did. I know he doesn't want Waka to see Soto for the third time, but, I mean, he gave up one walk. He's been pitching pretty good. And you know he's, like, Judge doesn't see his changeup at all. You take out Waka to bring in the lefty Zerpa, and he immediately gives up the single to Soto. He walks Judge, walks Wells. Like, that was a terrible decision. I thought the Royals made two huge blunders in that game. I thought it was way too early to pull Waka, especially when you know he gets Judge out. Like, that's the thing. Nobody else. You're going to bring in a lefty. I know you don't want to get out Soto, but you're going to bring in a lefty to face Judge? Why in the world would you do that? I know, you know, Soto's not going to, you know, he obviously had 40 home runs, but I'd be more fearful of Judge. I know now it's hindsight and all, you're going to tell me Judge sucks in the playoffs, but I'm not bringing a lefty where if I still, like, you bring in a lefty, Soto's still Soto. Soto's got damn near 500 on base percentage. There's a good chance Soto gets on base anyway, and now you got two guys on with Judge coming up against a lefty when you could have just let him face Waka, who he can't touch, who he's now 1-for-20 against. I thought that was a terrible decision. I mean, the Royals are the team right now who are home right now kicking themselves. They had an opportunity to steal game one. And that's the other thing about it. Like, the Yankees can say, all right, look, we just gave you a chance. You blew it. You're not going to get another one. Like, if you weren't going to win this game, what game are you going to win? I thought it was a overall positive win for the New York Yankees. Mike in Edgewater. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, man?
First time, long time having me on. Thank you. I was at the stadium tonight, you know, I'm 30 years old.
How was it? How was the atmosphere? You know, at times, yeah, the broadcast was weird. At times, it felt really loud, and then at times, it felt quiet. It sounded like the broadcast was lowering it so you could hear the broadcast, but how was the atmosphere at Yankee Stadium last night?
The atmosphere is as good as you could expect. You know, yeah, the guys were going wild. I'm hearing you guys. I'm assuming Costas was exactly what we anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, it's a boring broadcast. I'm sorry. And I love Ron. I mean, yeah. Ron, Keith, and Gary are the best in the business. Ron's a very good, color man and commentator. But, I mean, it's a brutal broadcast. But thankfully, you didn't have to hear it.
Yeah, no, we got it from the good seats. You know, it was up and down. Cole struggled a little bit, but hey, we got it done. You know, I'm going to take it from this angle. You know, I'm 30 years old. I was born in 95. I was part of that group that we lived on the late 90s dynasty.
Right.
You know, got to see 2009. And, you know, I've watched enough Yankeeographies to know that our best player has to hit when it comes to October. You know, Judge obviously struggled tonight. I want to see what your guys' take is on. Do we expect him to go this way, or do we need to know that he needs to hit for us to go where we want to be?
Yeah, listen, you got it, man. Judge needs to hit, or they're not going to win the World Series. That's for sure. They can get. And thank you for the call. They can get through this series. Maybe they got through this game. No, but ultimately, Judge has to hit. I've been saying that forever. It's true. Judge needs to hit. We could talk about when they pitch around him, you got to have someone there who can hit behind him. Absolutely. They went after him tonight. Even in that first inning, Waka went right after him. First pitch, fastball in the outside corner, 96 miles an hour. He fouled it back. They were not messing around. They went right after Judge, and they got him out. He's got to hit. I think it's premature to get too worried about Judge. It's one game. It's literally one baseball game. Like, they play 162 of them. I think we would be remiss to just suddenly, like, have all fears of Judge being any kind of productive player because he had a bad game. And I know what he's done in the past. I don't care. It's season to season. It's one bad game. It's one bad game for Stanton. It's one bad game for him. They didn't hit with runners in scoring position for the most part, but they came through when they needed to, and Verdugo came through. In fact, Rami, I'm going to throw it on you real quick. I'll take a call. After the call, I want to hear the John Sterling Verdugo base hit, and then the final call. We'll play some sound. We'll play some sound from Howie Rose as well when we get to the Mets in a little bit. I'm on with you till 2 a.m. here. But let's take another call real quick. Let's go to Eli in Washingtonville. What's up, Eli?
See, Mac, not for nothing, man. Leave it up to you to put lipstick on a pig. Because this win
this pig's got a dub. This pig's got a curly tail. It looks like a W.
Listen, this game was given to us by the Kansas City Royals with walks. All of our fears came true. Yeah,
yeah.
But what assures you that this is not going to happen throughout the series? We still have to face their two aces. We can't. That first inning when Judge didn't even make a pop fly.
Right.
It was crazy. He didn't even make a pop fly.
Do you think Judge is going to do that? Ohtani hit a three-run home run. What is Ohtani? Exactly. What does Ohtani have to do with anything?
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's a star. That's an all-star.
Oh my God!
At every phase of the game, Judge is record.
He doesn't
Judge
play defense, record. By the way. But okay.
But it doesn't matter. He pitches. And
well, not now. Not right now. He doesn't.
All right. That's what he's doing next season. But that's not the point. The point is, this was an ugly game.
Yep.
I don't know who the hell scouted Volpe as a great player. Because this guy is regressing throughout the year. His defense is atrocious.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the Yankees, if they continue to play like this,
if Judge continues to go over, if Judge doesn't get a hit, which, by the way, you know, that's what stars do. It's one game. It's a baseball game. Tomorrow night, Ohtani might go 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts, and Judge might hit 2 home runs on Monday. And then what do you say? It's a game. It's one single game.
Okay, what did he do last season? It's a track record.
He didn't make the playoffs last season.
I'm talking about Judge.
Yeah, he didn't make the playoffs last season.
I'm saying his track record in his last postseason.
Yeah, he had a bad series. He had a bad postseason last season. So what?
Okay, that's what I'm
part
saying.
Of it.
This guy has a track record of performing in the regular season.
It's one game.
And in the postseason, he disappeared.
It's one game. I don't care about previous years. It's one game.
The only
Relax.
Guy that showed up today was Soto. That's the only guy that showed up today.
Verdugo didn't show up?
Okay.
The bullpen didn't show up? The bullpen didn't show up.
I'm talking about out of the three stars.
No, who are you talking about?
The only one that showed up today was Soto. That's
okay. It. Soto got some hits. And yeah.
And then we had
Soto
a credit walk.
Soto's part of the team.
I mean, and the Empire giving us a game. Because that was clearly an out.
I don't know if it was clearly an out. I would have called it an out. I think there was enough there where you can't be 100% sure, but I do. I would have called it an out. I agree with you. I think he was out at Chisholm was out at second base. But okay, so what? That's still a tie game. They weren't down. The game's not over there. They didn't lose. That's a game winning run. They're still playing, maybe, who knows? But they didn't lose the game if they don't score that run. That's not it's not like they were down and that brought them back. That's a tie game. So that's a go-ahead lead. They're still playing at home with a lead with the tie game. And the bullpen pitching the way it's pitched. I'm not telling you that it was a great game. What I'm telling you is, of course they can't play like this every night. What I'm saying is when they play like this, they lose. That's what's happened. You want to talk about track records? That's the track record. When they don't hit with runners in scoring position, and Cole doesn't pitch well, and Judge does nothing, they lose. The fact that they won this game is a positive because, yeah, of course they can't play like this every night. Who's saying it? They can't go 0-for-9 in their first 9 at-bats with runners in scoring position. But, I mean, the idea is that they're not going to do it every night. And over their history, track record, they've scored runs. They've had games where they've won. The problem is this happens too often, and every time it happens, they lose. They won this game. They came back. You want to say it was given to them? Walks are earned. Some of those walks were good at-bats. Like, that's part of it. I'm not trying to tell you all this right, was a great game. What I'm telling you is they won the game despite not playing that well. That's a positive. Of course they have to play well, but you're going to have nights where you don't, and it typically costs you a loss. And you would be typically sitting here going down 0-1 to the Royals, and guys like you, Eli, would be calling me about how the series is over already. Instead, they're up 1-0, and we're talking about how, yeah, they got to play better, and Judge is the best hitter in the world. If you think he's going to be awful the rest of the series, then yeah, they're not going to win. But they might win this series, they're not going to win the World Series. Judge has got to be better. I think he will be. And you want to talk about track records, he's got a track record of being the best player on the planet.
Okay, in the regular season, not the postseason.
And everything. Look, I mean, he's just the best hitter on the planet.
Let me just end up with this. Listen, like I said, there's some certain wins that you feel confident about, and there's certain times when you win and you're like, oh, man, you know what? I don't feel confident about this team going forward. And that's me right now. I don't feel confident. We're facing their next two pitchers, which are aces. And the Yankees, the track record that the Yankees have in every postseason is that their offense disappears.
Right. And you could argue their offense disappeared last night, and they scored 6 runs and won the baseball game. Thank you, Eli. That's my only point. Thank you for the call. I'm not telling you that the offense did great shakes. They won a game despite having the things that typically cost them games. They're not going to do this every night. If they will, they will lose. These are the kind of games that pop up in a series. You have 1 or 2 a series, and if you lose them, you lose the series. If you win them, you win the series. That's what I'm saying. At no point did I beat my chest, say, look how good the Yankees are. Here they come. You better watch out Cleveland, Detroit, Mets, Dodgers, whoever's in front of us. This team's unbeatable. Is that what I'm saying? Or am I saying, despite some of our fears, they found a way to win? Good teams find a way to win. The postseason is about finding a way to win. Everybody's up in arms, and we'll get to them in a little bit, about how great the Mets are. The Mets were 2 outs away from their season being dead. They were lifeless for 9 innings, and then Alonso hit a home run. Nobody's going, oh my God, really, if you look at it, the Mets, they had 8 innings of nothing. I mean, if they continue to have 8 innings of nothing, they're going to lose this series. Again, today, 7 innings of nothing, then they exploded. Man, if they continue that, because you could make that case. We won't here on this show because I'm going to talk about how freaking great they are at the end of the game and how clutch they've been. But you can make the case if you want to be a pessimistic Mets fan or someone who just wants to make the case. I mean, well, how many times can they be terrible through the first 7 innings, man? How many times? Here's the fact of the matter. The Yankees won. The Yankees won the game. Cole didn't pitch well. I don't expect that again. Judge didn't hit at all. I don't expect that again. Volpe, one of their best defenders, threw the ball away. I don't expect that again. I don't expect any of that, and they won with all of it. 888-808-1019. I think we got time for the Verdugo call before the update. Let me hear John Sterling give me the base hit that gives the Yankees the lead from the man of the hour, Alex Verdugo.
Here's the 0-1. Line to left field, there's a base hit. Chisholm rounding third, coming home. Here comes the throw. It is not in time. And on to second goes Verdugo. So Doogie delivers. He lines up base hit to left field, and the Yankees take a 6-5 lead.
Doogie delivers.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.